Okay, we continue the Rambam. We're in Perek Tazayin Halacha Ches. Again, we're talking about where there were blemishes found in what was sold, and the buyer already started using it. Now we're going to see how far this goes in Halacha Ches. Hamoicher karka lechavero. The guy sells land to somebody, and he starts using the land. V'ochol peruso, and the buyer is eating the fruits of the land. Yeah, but it's a tricky land. Well, achrizman, and let's say after a year or so, near Bamum, you see a blemish. There's some lands that you don't realize that they don't produce every year. Now, they can produce for a year and then not produce for 3 years. So I guess the seller figured, okay, this is a good year.
Sell it now. Upcoming producing year.
Right, you're right. So now, what's going to happen? This is obviously a blemish. Now, you have to be able to prove this, obviously. You have to bring an horticulturalist and to prove that there's something wrong with the land, because obviously it produced fruits. So it's got
to
be something where the
agriculturally,
it doesn't really matter, but...
That's what bugged me yesterday.
But he must know. Obviously, he's got to know what kind of land he's got. So anyway, so what happens? So he's got a choice. The buyer can either hang on to the land or return it. But there's a price to return it here. If you want to return the land back to the owner, yeah, he'll get your full price back. But don't forget, you got to pay for all the fruits you ate, man. Now, interesting, the commentaries give an interesting reason why. Because let's think about it. If the deal is null and void, so what has effectively happened for a year? For a year, the seller, the buyer loaned the seller money. Because at the end of the day, the money's coming back to the buyer. Right? What really happened? The seller got the money for, let's say, a year. Right?
Yeah.
And he got to use it free of charge. Now what happens next? If it gives him back the land, but if the buyer keeps the fruits, then it looks like he got interest on it. So because it looks like the interest he got on it, then he has to give it back. Okay? Very interesting. That's a pun. Okay. Anyway, v'imhaya chatzer.
I'm too busy thinking about this.
V'imhaya chatzer. That's good. V'imhaya chatzer. If it was a courtyard... And he bought a courtyard that normally would be rented, but he bought it. Vidorbo, and he lived in it, and they found later some terrible defect in the courtyard. Tzorach lahalos l'sachar. He has to pay the rent for it. Again, the reason being, because otherwise it would look like interest on it. Because again, the seller got to use the money for a year without any interest. You think about it, on all these deals, he got to use the money for a year. The buyer didn't really have any use of the money. Wait a minute, he's getting the money back, and he's getting use of this property that, again, would look like interest, so therefore he's got to pay for what he used.
But we don't really need to come on to that, because we said yesterday he'd also have to pay for his usage.
Well, I didn't explain why.
Was that rent too? Was it for any length of time? Or was it just the usage?
Well, now we see the real reason.
But now it's a long period of time.
But I'm saying now we see that, even if it's a month. Yeah. Banks charge a lot of interest for a day.
Yeah. Credit cards.
So now you know the reason why what we said yesterday is because now that becomes the interest.
If the buyer was plowing or something like that, he was fixing it up, that could be his payment, no?
Yeah, it's a land improvement. When he gives it back, the land's...
He's in a better shape than when
Certainly not, because it didn't produce any fruit the next year.
No, but, I mean, for the next year, it's now been plowed and...
But when does he find out the blemish? When it's not producing. When it's not producing. Or even getting to use a piece of property, no matter what. If I get to use the property, I get to eat the fruits. I didn't pay any money to use the property. That's full benefit. Okay, now...
That's a little bit better, actually.
Okay, good. Test. Hamoicher davar sheish bo mum. Let's say this guy sells something that's got a blemish, and the owner knows about it, but it's a mum shein anir. It's not one that's evident. For avad amikak machmas osa mum, and the thing that he bought now gets destroyed because of that blemish. It's almost similar to the halacha we had yesterday, and the buyer didn't know about it, so he couldn't be careful about it. The owner knew. The seller knew it had a blemish. Was an not visible blemish. He knew. The buyer did not know. So, and then because he didn't know, he didn't take proper care of it, which he would have taken proper care of or would have returned it, whatever. And anyway, and now it gets destroyed. So what happens? The seller returns the money and he's out of luck. You want to know what the case is? Let's go to the next halacha. Yud, case. Let's have an example. And you have to also not come to a final conclusion until we do Yud Aleph, which qualifies it even further. Yud. Okay, so let's have an example. Somebody sells an ox to his friend that does not have any teeth. Now, all right? Now, if it doesn't have any teeth, that's not good. Because if you don't have teeth, you can't eat. Okay? Now, the buyer assumed that the seller, if that had such a major problem, it would have told him about it, right?
Yeah, visible.
Well, not always. His mouth
can't
is closed.
Look at my horse, the first thing you look at is
it says molars. It says molars.
Oh, it's molars?
It says molars.
Oh, it says grinding teeth. The grinding teeth.
And he can't get
see, mine just says
no dentist. The testes were fine.
Okay, so we'll call it molars. Let's thank you. Good. Yeah. Very good. So what does the guy do? He adds this ox to the other 50 ox he has in the pasture. So he's with all of them. I think he's looking at each one. They're eating grass, right? He put food in front of them. They're all eating, and he sees all the food's eaten at the end of the day. But he didn't know. This guy, this ox, ain't eating.
So he died of starvation.
He starved to death. So now, so the buyer just returns the carcass. And the seller has to pay back the money. Now, the commentary adds, very importantly, even though you'd think that the buyer would be obliged to check it in advance, as we'll see in the next halacha, but here the seller knew about the blemish, and you'll see why. So therefore, since he knew about the blemish, then the obligation is on the seller. In other words, the seller knows about the blemish, and how are you going to know if he knows or not? Well, it was a simple assumption. If it's his ox, then we know he knows his animal. As opposed to what you'll see in Halacha Yud Aleph, which will show you the difference in just a moment. You'll see a difference in a minute.
Top dollar for it.
But anyway, it's like if you're raising the cow, the ox, and you know it's your ox, and you're selling me, then you know what? If there's a problem, you would tell me about it, and the seller is not obliged to check. Buyer is not obliged to check it out. Because what do you mean? If you're selling me, you're going to be honest. You're going to tell me what the problems are. I have to look for all the problems. That's why the onus is on the seller, and therefore he takes the loss.
So it really isn't caveat emptor. It's not let the buyer beware.
In this situation, where the seller obviously knows what he's selling and should be telling the buyer. Now, if he makes conditions, that's a different story.
Well, he's saying defective
merchandise. If he says, I'm selling to you as is, I'm not promising anything, are you taking
the
risk?
Lowering the price or something.
Whatever. But as opposed to the next halacha, get the next halacha, then you'll see the balance over it. You'd all. But what if the seller was not the homegrown breeder of the ox? What if he's a middleman?
So it's a feedlot.
If the seller is just the middleman, or middleman, he brings in 50 oxen from Chicago,
or more,
whatever.
100.
500, right?
Yeah.
And now he just puts them all, you know, in one big stable, and he just sells them off right away.
Yeah.
He's not
going to
be.
Feedlots.
He's not going to be checking each and every one of them.
Yeah.
And when you know you're buying from a middleman, the buyer knows it's not being pre-checked. Now Leonis switches. It switches on the buyer now because you don't expect the seller to check it all. Shalokeach me said this guy buys from one. Umocho says he doesn't keep them for weeks and weeks and weeks. As soon as he gets it, move them out, baby. Well, Yarmu said he didn't know about the moon.
With the moon, move them out.
Now we have to say about it's not that the seer sore, the middleman is totally off the hook. He has to do one thing to get him off the hook. He has to make a rabbinic oath. He didn't know about the blemish, the yipater, and then he is off the hook. Why? Now, in this situation, this is a situation where the buyer is supposed to have checked the ox after he knows that the middleman doesn't have time to check it out. And then if you checked it out right when you bought it, then return it before it dies. Then what would happen? You can return it if you don't like it. Find a mum, return it. Then the middleman, it's his headache to get it back to the wholesaler, whatever, and sell it back to him. But since the buyer did not do his due diligence of checking out, then the buyer loses himself. However, in a situation where, let's say, the buyer was not supposed to check, let's say, for example, the wholesaler sold him a diamond, and a ring, with the assumption that it was gold, and then the buyer thought it was gold. And what happens? It was glass or lead, and it just broke. Well, then the exchanger is out of loop, because that's not something you can really check. How can you check if it's really gold or not until you use it? While a cow, you should check if it's got teeth. That's something you can check. Some things you cannot check.
So is that wholesale thing closer to the as-is, like what we talked about the other day?
Well, you assume the wholesaler's not going to check it. No, it's not as-is, because if you find the blemish where you can return it. The problem is here, there was negligence subsequent to the buying, which caused the animal to die. If it's yours, when you're going to get a good cow. But if the first, so when you take it home, you say, oh, wait a minute, it's got a blemish. Return it right away. You just leave it there. You don't check it. You never checked it. And then it dies. Now it's your fault.
So what happens if you checked it out, and let's say the cow is losing weight, and you see he has no moolage. Can you give it back?
If it's losing weight already, you've been waiting a long time.
Well, let's say 2 weeks.
Are you supposed to check for the animal's teeth as soon as possible?
Wouldn't you check it before you bought it?
He didn't have time. He could have sent a messenger.
Let's say you're buying 50 cattle.
You can't check them all.
You're going to check all 50.
I have a good relationship with the guy.
How are you
going
to get inside the mouth to begin with? That cat. A horse is a different story, but a cow?
No,
I don't have that. But
what do you have?
Ramah argues?
The Shulchan Aruch says goes with the Rambam, but the Ramah says the broker has some responsibility, because he says even though he was cheated, because he didn't know what told him about it, it doesn't give him the right to cheat others.
So Ramoy, I guess, holds that the middleman has to inspect it. Yeah. Okay. So there's different opinions here. Okay, now,
the middleman is
the next three halachas all go together, which means we're not leaving tonight unless we do all three. But it's only three halachas. We've only been going all 12 fresh. Minutes. I mean, I have another 17 minutes coming, or depends if we go a half an hour until 10. But we have to do all three, because if it's going to be crazy, if we're going to wait all the way till Sunday, we got to do all three. So we can, depending on the amount of questions, that will depend how far we go. Now, Yud Dalet is going to give us the golden rule, but we're not at Yud Dalet.
Oh,
so we have to start at
Yud
Beis and Yud Gimel. Then he goes and gives us the golden rule. Okay. First of all, in biblical times, if you had a firstborn animal, what were you supposed to do? You're supposed to give it to the Kohen.
Temple.
Goes to the temple, goes to the Kohen. Well, nowadays, what do we do with a firstborn animal? You can't give it to the temple. You're not allowed to give it to a Kohen. He can't eat from it. So what do? We let it, thank you, pasture until it gets a blemish, and then a Jew can eat it. However, you have to, one thing, and it's critical, you've got to show the blemish to an expert in blemishes, and he must render it blemished. Now that it's blemished, it's for sure blemished. Otherwise, there's a bias. Meat looks like
sure,
a blemish. Got
blemish.
A little scratch. That's a blemish. Now we're an expert in this. Tom Huff, I'm an expert. And once the expert says it's blemished, now no more Kedusha. You can eat. Okay, now here. So now. So when a seller is selling a Bechor, you would hope that he would go to an expert, get it checked. And we tell the guy, that's why if you're a buyer, say, is this a Bechor by any chance? Yeah, it's a Bechor. Did you get it checked? Of course I got it checked. Right? Then you could sell it. If you don't check it, you can't, it's usher, you can't eat it. You can't do anything with it.
Okay.
Till it gets blemished. And what if it doesn't get, what if you shechted it? What if you shechted it before it got blemished?
That's a problem.
You're done for. Nothing you could do. And it's usher to eat d'oraisa.
You can't sell to a boy.
We didn't say it's usher b'hano, but it's usher to eat d'oraisa. So now let's see what happens.
For a Jew.
Well, nobody should eat it. Hashoychet, well, really nobody should eat it. Hashoychet as a bechor. A guy sells a bechor. Okay, on the assumption, when the buyer is buying it, he's making the assumption that it has a mum and that it was also permitted to eat because the guy took it to an expert. That's what the buyer is assuming. Venodolo, now what happened is he finds out a little bit too late, Shalohero, the guy did not in fact show it to an expert, Lamumcha, to an expert. And now what happens? And he shechted it before he found out, because that's what he bought the animal for the shecht. And the law is, if you shecht a bechor, and afterwards you find it has a mum, even if it's a revealed mum, it doesn't matter. If it was not checked by a mumcha first, and you shecht it, it's aser to eat, and you must bury it. Huh. Like, just like any bechor animal that dies.
As if it didn't have a mum.
No, because it's a bechor.
Yeah. No, I'm saying it's a bechor that didn't have a mum. We're saying it had one, but it wasn't a checked one. So the treatment is as if it
didn't. Right, just as if it was a bechor that died, and it must be buried. That's it. So what happens is, he didn't find out until after he had a few rib steaks. So now the question is, certainly there's a mekach tos. Certainly it should not have been sold. Certainly I should get his money back, but what about the rib steaks? So, masha ochal achal. What he ate... Yeah. And doesn't matter, and he doesn't have to pay back. And the seller has to give him back the money, the full money, because he gave him something that was osur mehano derabbanan, as we'll see in a minute. So the guy wasn't allowed to have ano, so even if the guy said, well, you should pay him for the pleasure, but I wasn't allowed to have the pleasure. And frankly, I don't think he's so happy having done an avera b'shogeg as well.
No.
Well, you're going to pay me because I facilitated you to do an avera derabbanan. Doesn't make sense that the guy should have to pay for that.
Isn't there the buyer of responsibility to say, show me the certificate? Show me that it was
true. He assumed he's an honest. If he's selling, he's, you know, badatz, you know, he's a frum guy with a long beard, you know, he thinks, okay, right? Vahanishar mina baser biyada lekuchos. And what's left over by the buyer, we change the word here, not yikabel, but yikaver. He must bury it. In other words, the buyer, just bury it. Don't even give back to the guy. Right? He has to bury everything. You can't give it back to the seller. Why? Because you're afraid he may sell it to another Jew, which would be usher. Right? As opposed to a regular case of trefa, you could get your money back and give it back to the seller, who will then sell it to a goy or whatever. But this has to totally be buried and done with. Okay. The Yahshua Summit, he has to pay back the money. Okay? Yeah.
Wouldn't this be the same thing? Let's say the seller made it hektish and didn't tell anybody and sell it. Would be like the same idea.
It could be other problems. I don't want to go there. Well, Brahman will probably come to it. There's all kinds of problems. So me'ilo. There's different issues. Paying an extra 10%, bringing a korban. I would imagine Rambam would get to such a case, so let's just hold on. Now, this is a case of a bechor. What about b'chena sheichet es hapor? Let's say he sold him and he shechted a cow. No, the seller shechted the cow, u'mechara, and sold a shechted animal. That's okay. We assume it's a kosher shechita. V'nodashi trefa, and now we see it was always a trefa the whole time, which is now biblically prohibited to eat. And the guy didn't tell him. They didn't find out till after he ate some of it. Masha ochalacha, what he eats. V'yachsos man, that he can return. He gets the money back. All right, what about the part he didn't eat? U'mashlo ochal, yachsos aposot. That you can give back to the butcher, and he will sell it to a goy. V'yachsolo es adamim. And again, I don't know why the Rambam repeats this.
So we're not worried that you could sell it to a Jew again.
No, because the bechor you can't have any hanah from. You can't sell to anybody.
Right.
But here, you could have hanah from a trefa. So I don't know why the Rambam says a second time, v'yachsolo es adamim, because he already said he gives back the money. There's no other money to give back. Again, what he ate, I don't think he's got to pay for, because he ate a trefa again.
He's
not pay for that.
Can you also get damages, like you've trafed up my plates and stuff like that?
And my...
What have we got? Of course we're going to say no. Why? Because of the G word.
Grama.
Grama.
Indirect.
Like if you were like in New Jersey and you were
it's a grumma.
Had a butcher store and it's everything was trafe and you trafe
them. It's a grumma.
People took their dishes.
Your demo. Malkar alokeach. Paul wants to go to sleep. Malkar alokeach. Now let's say, take it a step further now. The buyer goes, takes this meat, and he didn't realize it was trafe yet, and he sold it to Goyim. For whatever reason. Or maybe he found out it was a trafe before he got it back to the owner. He said, oh, it's a trafe. He didn't learn the Rambam. And he figured, well, I might as well, you know, cut my losses, so I'll sell it to a guy. Oh, Shechel Lechomer gave it to his dogs. And they said, you know, you could have returned it back to that guy. Oh, well, and I didn't give it all away, right? See, Yechashiv Matabach al Dmei HaTrefa. Figure out how much money he lost because he sold him a trefa. Yachzal Atabach HaSamoser. So you figure like this. You make the difference. In other words, how much money did the buyer get?
Back.
Or benefit did he get by selling to the goy or feeding this goy? That's a real benefit he got. We're assuming he didn't eat any, let's just say. And then the amount that he gets back, we just subtract how much he benefited from that, etc. That makes sense. V'chein kol k'yesim, and anything similar like that. This is something that's mutter behano. This is the difference. Trefa is mutter behano. You can't eat it, but it's mutter behano. So even if he sold it, he was allowed to have ano, the seller, the buyer, who subsequently became a seller. So he's allowed to have ano. So that's the difference where you're allowed to have ano versus something that you're not allowed to have ano. And that's the difference. This is a Giyugim was not where he ate any of it. He found it was a treif and now sold it. And he had it ano, which he could have. Halacha Yud Beis is speaking where he was eating, and eating was a no-no under any circumstance.
So even if he sold it to a goy, or gave it to his dogs, he's not supposed to get any benefit from it. So he
which,
has to get full benefit from that.
For which?
In the, if this
which
happens,
case?
We're saying the case
Trefa?
No.
Before you can't have any on off from it.
So let's say he didn't know it was a Bechor. He thought it was already a Mum. And now he finds out afterwards that he sold it to a Goy or gave it to his dogs.
Let's see your dollars. Your dollars is going to be the summary over here. Really summarizing everything over here. If a person sells meat to his friend, and v'nimtza besar bechor, we find that later it's the flesh of a bechor, which is osur to eat d'oraisa. Okay? All these cases are either prohibited to derive benefit rabbinically or to eat biblically. Prohibited. Okay? Either one. That's what the common denominator
one
is.
One of the
here.
Two.
Okay, so the Bechor, you can't eat it. You're probably not allowed to eat it. Peros and insets fallen, and you sell them fruit that you didn't tithe, and it's devil. And the Ram holds it's biblically forbidden to eat it. Yayin, the nimsa yayin nesach. Ah, you find wine, and it's been mixed around, and it's yayin nesach, which is osur behano'ah. Okay, and the question is, you know, to what degree is it osur behano'ah? We'll see in a minute. Okay, we'll see in 1 second. Anyway, and now the buyer, he ate or drank some of it till he found out about it. So, whatever he ate, he ate. He doesn't have to pay for it. And the seller has to give him back the money. And now he summarizes this. And similar for any other thing that is prohibited to eat biblically, that is the same law. 1 second, peches, because you've made the fellow stumble with an iser Torah.
Yeah.
You made the buyer do an avera, and therefore we fine the seller. Or we could say, if it's aser mina Torah, even by accident, the buyer definitely got no hanah from it. Right? That's when it's biblically prohibited to eat. Remember. So in that case, and it doesn't matter how terrible the avera is. Bein shoya isur bekaris. Let's say the prohibition is a kores avera. Let's say you sold him fats that are prohibited fats. That's an isur kores. Bein shoya isur balav bovad. It's only a negative, like nevela and trefa. If it's usur doraisa, it's like the guy got zero benefit from it. You pay him back the full amount. But what if the prohibition of eating it is only a rabbinic prohibition of eating it? So therefore, if that's the case, then in that case, it really, d'oraisa isn't osur. It's only the rabbi is prohibited lest. You can't say the thing be'etzim is osir. Because the rabbis only said, you know, we don't want you to eat some stuff.
So
you
after the fact, Hashem doesn't look at him as having done an affair.
Oh, so that's right. And he did benefit, sort of. Right. So let's see. Im haya peres kamim. So if the fruits, let's say it was rabbinically usher. So if the fruits are around, maxers of peres and not was dumb. Give back the money. Give back the fruits. You get your money. But if you ate it, and let's say you ate all of it, to make it simple. Achal, he ate it all up. The seller doesn't sell him, give him back nothing. Why is that the case? Because since it's only an issur d'rabanan and it's shogeg, it's not considered an avera at all. Well, let me just finish two more lines. Okay. V'chol isura hanah. But if something's usur b'hanah, see, the difference between eating if it's usur d'oraisa d'rabanan. The case the Rambam gave before, it's d'oraisa usur to eat. If it's only Drabbanan, well, you benefited from it, and you didn't do an Avera at the end of the day.
B'shogi,
of course. I'm sorry, one second. V'chali surah hanah, but if it's usur to have benefit from it, it doesn't matter if it's biblically or rabbinically. And yayin nesech, either way, I don't care what you're going to say, if it's rabbinic or biblical, doesn't matter. So now let's think for a minute. If something is usur b'hanah, think for a minute. Did the seller sell him anything of value?
No.
No, because you can't do anything.
Because the seller couldn't sell it to anybody. Right? So seller's holding on to something that's exactly worth zero. Because the seller can't even have a no. So now what happened? He went and sold it to the guy. And the guy, let's say it's only rabbinic usur b'hano. Could say, well, he didn't do an aver. That's fine. So in terms of him benefiting, well, you could say he benefited. But the problem is, the seller had sold him something of zero value. So Max says, I mean, he has to give the full price. There's no sale that happened at all. There's because a seller is not allowed to sell something that really isn't his. Because if you get benefit,
so you go and buy yours. You go and buy a pizza, and those soy pepperonis taste too good. Because it's really a pepperoni pizza.
No.
So we have to know, there's a lot of shadows, but let's say in a simple situation, if it was real, actual basar v'cholov.
Yeah. And it could be pork basar, too, on top of that.
Well, so that makes it better or worse?
Well, still, it's a d'oraisa, so then you don't have to pay for the pizza. You get the money back.
You get pizza's
you get the money back. But what if it's a chicken? What if it's a, wait a minute. What if it's a chicken pizza? A chicken pizza? A chicken.
But it's rabbinic.
That's only rabbinic. That's right. Then he benefited. Rabbinic? He benefited, and he's got to pay him.
So what is that rabbinic? But you're not allowed to.
You're not allowed to eat it rabbinically. I don't think that's rabbinic, if I'm not mistaken. No. So then he'd have to pay for the pizza, and that would be the difference.
Sometimes
we start a new chapter.
Sometimes in this case,
it doesn't matter. If
the chicken's rabbinic, kosher or not free.
Once it's rabbinic, it doesn't carry the other aveiros.
Okay, just eating.
Just eating.
Yeah, kosher.